It's NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. For decades, state mental hospitals have been emptying their wards and reducing their staffs. Nowadays, if you want to find an institution housing hundreds of people with mental illnesses, you could try a hospital, but you might do better to try the county jail. This is a story about the criminalization of the mentally ill and one county in Florida that's trying to break the link between mental illness and jail.
Ms. Brunell, come on up.
Thursdays at the Broward County Courthouse in Fort Lauderdale, Judge Ginger Lerner Wren presides over a special court with a special touch. She seems more hostess than jurist.
Hello.
Hello, Jean.
How are you?
Okay.
Good. Actually, I know. I saw you when I walked in, right?
Yes.
And just for the record, Ms. Brunell was arrested. We have one open case currently, actually. I think that's for disorderly conduct, but she had some prior drug offenses.
This is Mental Health Court, a Broward County innovation. 23-year-old Maribel Brunell, who's in court for a status hearing, was sent by the court to a program to treat both her mental illness and her drug addiction. One day she left the program and smoked crack.
I relapsed one more time, but I think it was a good relapse for me. I'm taking the program much more seriously. I did come back that same day.
The Mental Health Court hears only misdemeanor cases. Its aim is to get people the system has identified as mentally ill or mentally retarded out of the county jail and into appropriate programs. Maribel Brunell is represented in court by the public defender, but she appears with a therapist at her side.
The progress notes from the time that she relapsed up till now are remarkably different. Yeah. And she's dealing with some pretty heavy issues right now.
As for walking away from her program and using drugs, in mental health court, that is seen more as relapse than reoffense.
That was, I guess, an important event in your recovery. It did, in fact, land you back in jail. It did, in fact, get you to a different, you know, hospital program as well. And you're moving forward. And when would you like to come back?
2 weeks.
Two weeks?
Yeah. I'll give you...
You want to come back in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You can. Sure. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay?
All right.
The cheery informality of these proceedings reflects not just the judge's personality, but a calculated tone for the mental health court.
You know, you're really trying, I think, from a judicial standpoint, to connote and somehow send a message to the defendants in front of you that you empathize with them, that you are concerned about them, and that if they are willing to really manage their conditions, engage in treatment, get a handle on what's happening to them from a health standpoint, that you're going to support them in that effort so long as the public safety is not compromised.
Broward County started the Mental Health Court in June 1997 to address a common problem. It has a large population of homeless people, most of them drug addicted or mentally ill or both. When they camp out in shopping areas or have psychotic episodes or urinate in public, they're commonly arrested for trespass or disorderly conduct or indecent exposure. With inadequate mental health services in the community and with a high threshold for involuntary commitment, the mentally ill wind up in jail. 2 years ago, Judge Lerner Wren was newly elected to the bench, and she volunteered to squeeze the mental health docket into an otherwise full caseload.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Your Honor?
Good, thank you.
Another of her 26 cases on Thursday was that of 41-year-old Dan Gunn, who was charged in December with trespass.
I think the concern at the time was when you came into court last time that I think he was homeless, and now you have a place to live. Correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. How's it going?
Great.
Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
Good.
Dan Gunn lives at the Cottages in the Pines, a residential treatment program on the grounds of the South Florida State Mental Hospital. 20 years ago, when the mental hospital housed 1,200 patients, the cottages were homes for doctors on the hospital staff. Now, in the age of deinstitutionalization, the hospital houses just 350 patients, and the cottages have been handed over to the court as a place to put people like Dan Gunn.
It's truly been a blessing for me here. Because before I got here, I'm an addicted person. I use crack. I did.
And he suffers from major depression. He says he's attempted suicide 3 times. The story of Dan Gunn's arrest might as well be a fable illustrating the criminalization of mental illness. The day he was arrested, Dan Gunn was at the bus station with a ticket home to Birmingham, Alabama.
I had like a two-hour wait for my bus. So I wandered off and I wandered into a crack zone, and I used the money that I had in my pocket, and I cashed my bus ticket in and continued to use. So after a day and a night of being in the crack house, I was feeling really, really, really bad. I went to the hospital and I was admitted.
He says his clothes were back at the crack house, so his doctor wrote him a pass to go back, get the clothes, and return to the hospital. But the temptation of the crack house proved too strong. He used again. By the time he got back to the hospital, Dan Gunn's pass had expired and he had been discharged.
So they instructed me to go back to the emergency room and be readmitted. I did that, but the emergency room doctor wouldn't readmit me, and I wouldn't leave, so they called the police, and the police took me to jail.
Gunn was charged with trespass. It was his first arrest, he says, and he felt depressed, degraded, and humiliated. In jail, he was interviewed by an intake nurse.
She asked if I had had any suicidal attempts in the past, and I said, yeah, actually, I'm feeling quite suicidal right now. And from there, they contacted a social worker, and a social worker came out and talked with me and evaluated me. Then they sent me to the hospital.
The same hospital where he'd been arrested for insisting that he be admitted. That sort of circular logic typifies the intersection of mental illness and criminal justice. Treatment that is inaccessible on a voluntary basis can be ordered for the mentally ill who've been arrested. In mental health court, Dan Gunn got what he wanted, another month at the cottages in the Pines so that he can try to find transitional housing. Dan Gunn might be an unusual defendant in another courtroom. He would rather remain under the court's supervision than see his two-month-old misdemeanor case resolved. The court represents his access to treatment. That's true as well for 29-year-old Michael Powell, a native of Paris, Kentucky. Powell is a crack addict who says he used to deliver appliances for a living. He still appears fit for heavy lifting, but his rotted teeth bespeak long spells of homelessness and self-neglect. A drug arrest landed Powell in jail and then in a halfway house, where he stole the VCR, hoping he could trade it for drugs. For that, he was charged with grand theft, which was later reduced to petty theft. On a rap sheet, Michael Powell might be summed up as a thief and a drug addict. But, and perhaps crucially, he is also a schizophrenic. He was diagnosed 7 years ago.
I was hearing voices over the TV, the radio, saying that I have a cocoon in me. And I was reading a horoscope, and it was telling me that. And I went to the hospital for it.
Did you go to the hospital because you felt you were suffering from something in your mind, or because you believed you had a cocoon inside of you?
Well, I was believed that I had a cocoon inside of me. And they thought I was crazy, you know. And then 2 weeks after that, I you know, came to the back of my mind and said, well, there is no cocoon in me.
Well, now take me back to the grand theft.
Yeah.
Okay. You're arrested. You had the VCR in your hands when the cop found you.
Yes, yes.
Where did the cop take you?
To Pompano, Joe.
And what happened there?
When I first got into jail, I saw Russians carrying guns and trying to shoot at people. I told the nurse that, and she put me in a crisis unit in jail.
Do you think there really were Russians shooting at people in the... jail?
Yes, I thought it was.
You thought that was really happening then?
Yes.
When you think back on it now, do you think there really were Russians?
No.
In the jail?
No.
You think it was part of your schizophrenia that was...
Yeah.
...making you think that? It must be terrifying to really believe that there are Russians running around shooting people in the jail.
Yes.
At the cottages in the Pines, where five or six men or women live in each house with a daily regimen of therapy, Michael Powell has proved to be a handful. Once, he left a group outing to the beach with Maribel Brunel, the young woman who appeared in court the same day, and smoked crack with her. That landed them both back in jail briefly. And later, when he was back at the cottages, he left the grounds and brought back a beer. At his status hearing before Judge Lerner Wren, Powell knew that he might soon be moved to another program, emphasizing his drug addiction more than his mental illness.
Mr. Powell, how are you?
Depressed.
Oh. How come?
How come?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. I'm just depressed.
It is more than a year since Michael Powell's arrest for stealing the VCR, and the county would gladly say that he has served his time. But Powell prefers to remain under the court's supervision after he's reminded that he runs the risk of jail time if he walks out again. Despite a skeptical state's attorney, the judge gives Michael Powell a chance to stay in a program.
Please, I mean, if you want to do it, you be serious about it and you work as
yes,
hard as you can.
Yes, I do.
If you decide that you don't
judge,
want
I just wanted
to
remind the court that he's had more than one chance in these programs. He's continued to show a pattern of noncompliance.
I know. He's also served time in jail for his noncompliance at times, and some individuals are a little tougher to work with than others. If he wants to work, I'm not going to turn him away from the court. Okay, so, Michael, is that what you want to do?
Yes.
All right. Do good.
The mental health court is an experiment that other jurisdictions are watching. Seattle has just created a court on the Broward County model. It's not clear that there are sufficient mental health resources to handle all the people who could come before such courts. But as Judge Ginger Lerner Wren says, Broward County just had to do something.
I don't know if this is the something for every community or every state, but this is our answer because we just really didn't feel very good about having our jails be the number one mental health provider in our county.
The mental health court has cleared the Broward County jails of an entire class of inmate, the mentally ill who commit nonviolent misdemeanors. It's a modest program, but so far recidivism is low. And the committee that oversees the project is considering expanding the court's mission into potentially more controversial ground, felony cases, where defendants charged with more serious offenses are mentally ill.
Our story on Fort Lauderdale's mental health court was produced by Margaret Lowe-Smith and recorded by Andy Rosenberg. You're listening to NPR's All Things Considered.